How well does the BJP understand politics? Now, if in national interest, this week, we raise that question or we begin with that question, your first response might be, go get your head examined only for daring to ask that question, because it's quite obvious that BJP understands politics brilliantly, not just brilliantly, but by a long distance, better than all its rivals or any other political party in India. By how much distance? How long is that distance? What is the distance between 303 Lok Sabha seats and 52 Lok Sabha seats? By that much distance. So BJP gets national politics. But if I finesse this question, and if I qualified it and I said, does BJP understand the politics of Punjab? The answer, I am afraid, will be no. I know that a lot of BJP fans will be taken aback, but I will explain to you, which is what I am doing in this week's National Interest, that BJP does not understand Punjab. So why does it not understand Punjab? Because for some reason, the BJP seems to think, or the Modi Shah BJP seems to think, that Punjab is also part of the Hindi heartland, or what I might call Hindu heartland. Punjab also has a history of partition, big violence between the worst violence between Hindus and Muslims, but more between Sikhs and Muslims. The Sikhs also protected the Hindus, as they have done for several hundred years now, since the days of the Gurus. So the Sikhs are also Hindus. Also, the Sikhs and the Hindus are very close together in terms of their ritual, in terms of their religious practices. In Punjab, we say Sikhs and Hindus, they are inseparable, like your fingers and nails. So the BJP makes a fundamental error in seeing Punjab as another Hindu heartland state. Now, before we take the argument further, we have to look at some facts. And if you see these facts of three elections, 2014 national elections, 2019 national elections, and the Punjab Assembly elections in the middle. In all three elections, in the entire northern region or in the entire Hindu region, the only state which has been able to withstand or in fact block or defy the Modi wave is Punjab. And Punjab has done it all three times. You want to see how effectively they've blocked the Modi wave? See, in 2014 as well as 2019, the BJP failed to get its favored and really stellar candidates elected in the constituency of Amritsar. Arun Jaitley in 2014 and my dear friend Hardeep Singh Puri in 2019. And that despite the fact that it had Shiromani Akali Dal, which is the preeminent Sikh political party, as an ally. Even in other Lok Sabha seats in 2014 also, Aam Aadmi Party also won several seats. People preferred a newbie like Aam Aadmi Party over the appeal of the BJP, although Narendra Modi held many rallies. In many of the rallies, he turned out, as in 2019, in saffron turbans to try and identify with the local population. But it simply did not work. In 2019 also, it did not work. The only state in the north to have defied the Modi wave again was Punjab. So what is it that is so different about Punjab? Now, if these three setbacks have not convinced the Modi Shah BJP that they don't get Punjab, they don't understand Punjab, then at least the shambles in which they find themselves over the farmers' protests should now make them wake up. You know, what happens is that this BJP RSS and this BJP's supporters, the Modi Shah BJP's supporters, the BJP has had a generational shift from Advani Vajpayee to Modi and Shah. It's also a shift of thinking in many ways. They see any of their critics as these deracinated, English-speaking, English medium-educated, Macaulay Putras, Lutyens Vasis, who don't understand Bharatvarsh, or who don't understand the idiom of Bharatvarsh, who don't have their finger on the pulse of Bharat. Now, if the BJP has all of that and the RSS has all of that, why do they get Punjab so wrong? Because if they only went by the native wisdom. In the Hindi heartland, there is an old saying, particularly in Western UP, in what I might call as Jatland. Western UP, large parts of Rajasthan, Haryana, Punjab. And the old saying is, the old wisdom is that Jat aapko ganna nahi dega. You can't snatch a sugarcane stick from a farmer's field, lekin pyar se gud ki bheli de dega. But if you can charm a farmer, if you can charm a Jat, he will gift you an entire slab of gud or jaggery, which it might have taken him dozens of sugarcane sticks to make. So you have to work with the Jat peasantry with politeness. You cannot come at the Punjabi, especially the Punjabi peasant, with your own ego riding on top of your head and showing on your face. You have to come at him with politeness, because if you come at him with arrogance, then there'll be a fight over even a stick of sugarcane or a ganna. But if you come with politeness, with a request, you might even be gifted a whole slab of jaggery. That is what they haven't got right in Punjab. They thought that these laws are good. I have supported these laws. These new farm laws are very reformist and very good. And they thought anybody who refuses to understand these needs to get their head examined. But you can't say that to a large population which loves a good fight. That is the population of the Punjabi peasantry. And that is where the BJP has got themselves into this mess. Now, understand the BJP's basic politics. The BJP's basic politics is like a chariot or juggernaut or a Vijay Rath, as they might like to call it, that runs on four wheels. What are these four wheels? One is Narendra Modi's humongous personal popularity. No denying that. Number two, the image that he and his government are non-corrupt. Number three, on polarization, that is Hindutva essentially, Hindu-Muslim polarization. And number four, pakka, hyper, unquestioning nationalism, as different from mere patriotism. So these are the four wheels that drive his vehicle. The essential flaw in applying this same formula to Punjab is that one wheel is not available in Punjab, and that wheel is polarization. Because in Punjab, the fear of the Muslim is neither comparable to what exists, say, in UP or Bihar or in West Bengal or in Assam or in Maharashtra or in Gujarat, nor can it be built to that level, because Punjab has a peculiar history. Punjab had a very bloody partition, but Punjab is also a region where Punjabis on both sides, Hindus, Muslims, Hindu Sikhs as well as Muslims on the other side, thought they got even with each other. So there are bonds of culture, language, etc., etc., and they don't fear each other. So the Punjabis of our Punjab, particularly the Sikhs, they don't fear Muslims even from across the border, because they know that if they decide to become a nuisance, they can take care of them. In fact, the only little enclave of Muslims that remains in Punjab remains there as guests of the Punjabis, guests of the Sikhs, that is the little enclave of Malerkotla, because the Nawab of Malerkotla had given refuge to the 10th Guru's sons. So the Sikh peasantry has a long memory for revenge. It also has a long memory for gratitude. Those are things you have to understand before you start opening water cannons and digging up your highways and putting up the barricades, thinking that you can stop them. This confusion comes from a fundamental misconception in the minds of BJP and RSS people, which is that the Sikhs are no different from the Hindus. The Sikhs are also Hindus. They are just turned out differently. Now, that is not entirely true. It is true that Sikhs and Hindus are very close together. They share a lot of rituals. They go to each other's temples, pray, no problem. They intermarry. They are very, very close together. They are unlike any other two communities anywhere in the country. But they are still two distinct communities. It is true that the Sikhs have been protectors of the Hindus in the Guru's times. It is also true that Punjab is the sword arm of India. But it is not true that the Sikhs and the Hindus are exactly the same or they think exactly the same way. Because if that was the case, then the RSS and BJP should have been sweeping Punjab like they sweep all other parts of Hindu India. At least since the arrival of Modi, they should have been doing that. But this is not happening because Punjab is essentially different. And that is the fact you need to understand. So some of us got this lesson early on in our lives when we were reporters at one of those congregations of Bhindranwales where some of us journalists always used to hang out. It was customary. A statement was being discussed and statement had been made by Balasaheb Devras, then Sarsang Chalak of the RSS, just the previous day. He had said, why should there be a problem between Hindus and the Sikhs in Punjab? Or why should the Sikhs be attacking the Hindus? Because who are the Sikhs? Sikhs are just Hindus, except they are Keshdhari Hindus. They are hair-wearing Hindus. So Bhindranwale turned to his audience, which included us, with a smirk as wide as the Satluj in peak flood. And he said, this Nikardhari, the guy who wears short pants, he says that we Sikhs are Keshdhari Hindus. Now, if he calls us Keshdhari Hindus, what is it that he will call Muslims? Will he call them Sunnatdhari Hindus or circumcised Hindus? So his point was that we are distinctive and he worked on that. Now, you think this is complex enough? You stay with me. I will tell you how different Punjab and how different particularly the Sikhs are. While this was going on, Bhindranwale and his people also made a demand that even in the constitution, this is much before this became more radical and went towards separatism. They said that Indian constitution should be amended. So Sikhs are now defined as a distinct separate minority, not like the Hindus. And they should have their own personal law. And when that happened, a delegation of powerful, rich Sikhs landed up at the Golden Temple with folded hands in front of Bhindranwale and said, Sanchi, do no such thing. Why do you want us to be deprived of our tax benefits under Hindu undivided family? So this is a very complex situation. This is not a situation that submits itself to easy community-based or political binaries. That is what people need to understand when they are dealing with Punjab. There's a history to Hindu-Sikh divide in Punjab after independence. Now, during the Punjabi Suba movement, when the Akalis wanted a state, Punjabi-speaking state for the Punjabis, which was fine print for a Sikh majority state, the RSS and Bharatiya Jan Sangh, which was the parent of the BJP, they opposed it. So this was quite a fight between the Akalis on the one hand and RSS Bharatiya Jan Sangh on the other. In 1966, the state split. That we know, that's a matter of history. That's historical record. And this hostility then continued and it turned into a kind of Hindu-Sikh tension. Not hostility, tension. Because there was also a belief among the Sikhs that too many Hindu Punjabis reported Hindi as their mother tongue to stay on in Haryana instead of going with Punjab. Now, what is true, what is untrue doesn't matter because what matters is the belief at the popular level. Now, this continued, the same khichatani carried on until say 1975 when unwittingly Mrs. Gandhi, when she put lots of her opposition, entire opposition in the jails, she also put the Akalis and the Jan Sangh people in the same jails and they talked with each other and they figured out what the distrust was and they also understood, the Akali leaders understood where the Jan Sangh leaders were coming from and Jan Sangh leaders also figured that these Akali leaders had a sense of Sikhs being distinct but they were not at all anti-national, they were as patriotic as Indians as the rest of them, so they came closer together. Also remember, during the emergency, after the RSS, the largest contingent in Mrs. Gandhi's jails had been sent by the Shiromani Akali Dal. Those are things we tend to forget. Why? Because the Sikhs, the Punjabis, love a fight. Now, I'll come back to this. So, after the jail experience, the leaders of the Jan Sangh then, who then joined the Janata Party, they got all the opposition united against Indira Gandhi in the Janata Party, they arrived at some kind of a coalition with the Akalis in Punjab and even had a government together. But they didn't last very long. Also, the Janata Party broke up and then Jan Sangh became BJP. And then came the decade of terrorism and bloodletting in Punjab, and tens of thousands of people were killed, a majority of them, frankly, Sikhs. When that happened, then both the moderate leaders of the Akalis, who had felt marginalized and insecure, and some of them had been assassinated in times of terrorism, they and the senior BJP leaders, they all knew each other from jail. They came back together and they thought, they figured, people like Advani, Vajpayee, Prakash Singh Badal, they figured that the only way to bring Hindus and the only way to stabilize Punjab and for the BJP, the only way to establish the party in the state was to bring Hindus and Sikhs together. And the key to bringing Hindus and Sikhs together was an Akali BJP alliance. So this very unlikely Akali BJP alliance came up in Punjab, and BJP under Vajpayee and Advani was quite happy to be the junior partner in Punjab. They were junior partners in Punjab, but at the center, they deferred to Punjab's leaders. They respected, they showed enormous respect to Prakash Singh Badal, as if he was a leader even more senior and even more respectable than them. And they kept that relationship going despite provocations and pressures. In fact, they assigned Madanlal Khurana, who was a BJP veteran from Delhi, the specific responsibility of keeping this relationship smooth, because they saw that relationship not so much in terms of local political interest, but in terms of the larger national interest. What has now happened is this government or this BJP has got a majority of its own. It's got a majority of its own across the country, despite not doing well in Punjab. And they haven't done well in Punjab, despite the Akalis being with them. So they have taken a more electoral, arithmetical, political view of this. And they began to marginalize the Akalis. And finally, the Akalis got ejected from the alliance. So the Hindu-Sikh alliance that Vajpayee, Advani, Madanlal Khurana put together has now broken up. And what that has done is Akalis have lost credibility. Congress Party's government is there. It has some credibility, or at least it has a large majority of its own. But a lot of the Sikh peasantry now finds itself leaderless. They don't want to listen to Modi. They are not Modi bhakts by any stretch of imagination. And they will not be put down by any force. Now, if you look at the history of Punjab and the demography of Punjab, BJP makes a bunch of mistakes. This BJP makes a bunch of mistakes. One, Punjab is not a monolith. Two, the Sikhs are not a monolith. They are also divided among castes, clans, etc., etc. In fact, if you look at the BJP's most prominent Sikh faces, almost all of them are not from the Jat Sikh community, which is the dominant community among the land-owning peasantry in Punjab, and which is now essentially fighting on these barricades and moats, and which is making light of these tear gas shells, etc., etc., whose faces you see on your TV channels. The BJP does not have great roots there. So you cannot treat all Punjabis as one. You cannot treat all Sikhs as one. And third, the Sikhs are not Hindus, as we explained to you just now. So these three essential mistakes are driving the BJP, or have driven the BJP, into this confrontation. Now, we have said three times in this national interest that the Punjabis love a good fight. The Sikh The Sikhs relish a fight, even more the Jat Sikhs, and they love to agitate. Since the beginning of the 20th century, look at the history of Punjab and the Sikhs. In the very early 20th century, we saw in Punjab something called the Pagdi Samhal Jatta movement. In fact, that slogan Pagdi Samhal Jatta also became the anthem of Sardar Bhagat Singh's or Shahid Bhagat Singh's revolution as well. Just a minor connection, the Pagdi Samhal Jatta movement was launched by a man called Sardar Ajit Singh, who was an uncle of Sardar Bhagat Singh. So rebellion is in the Punjabi's blood, and then Jallianwala Bagh happened and Udham Singh happened. You know all that history, and then you know the history of Punjabi Suba, and then you know this history of 10 years of terror. You know the fact that during the emergency, Akalis, although their Sikhs are a small minority, they sent the second largest contingent to Indira Gandhi's jails after the RSS. After all that, you have now thrown the gauntlet at the Punjabis and the Sikhs of a fight, which is a mistake. What Modi government has done is they have given the Punjabis a good fight, which is what they wanted. On the other hand, it needs to go out and reason with them. Punjabi farmers are entrepreneurial. They might see the sense in these farm reform bills and what it means to them. Maybe the odd concession like private mandis will not buy any of the products subject to MSP, below MSP. I don't see the problem with that. Government should not stand on ego with that, on that. So that reasoning can work. But if you think you are going to either crush the Punjabi anger by force, you are mistaken. Second, and in fact my final point, the formula you've used in the rest of the Hindi heartland, polarization, which is a Hindu-Muslim polarization, is not available to you in Punjab. Punjab's land is not fertile for that. A polarization is available to you, but that is Hindu-Sikh polarization. You've seen that before. You've seen that movie before in the 80s, and it wasn't a happy movie and did not have a happy ending. So you want to really go back there, then you can carry on, try your luck. Then you encourage your social media followers, your favorite commando comic channels to continue with the canard that this farmers' agitation is inspired by Khalistanis. But you know, in my book, that is defined as painting the devil on the wall.